Good afternoon, everyone. This is, I'm going to open a call, a meeting, sorry, of the House Interim Committee on Rules. Today is Thursday, January 14th, and I'm going to open an organizational meeting for the purpose of adopting committee rules and an introduction of our committee members. So, we'll start with Representative Wilson. Introduce yourself, please.
I shall. I'm Carl Wilson, State Representative, District 3, Grants Pass, Josephine County.
Dan Rayfield, House District 16, Corvallis, Philomath.
John Huffman, House District 59. I live in the Dalles and go out to Fossil, Mitchell, Sisters, parts beyond.
Phil Barnhart, Central Inn and Lynn Counties, Cresswell, Leeburg, parts of Springfield and Eugene, Coburg, Harrisburg, Halsey, Brownsville, Crawfordsville, Sotaville, and various other communities scattered throughout that region.
Vic Gilliam, Silverton.
Jennifer Williamson, Portland.
Val Hoyle, House District 14, West Eugene and Junction City.
Bill Kenemer, State Rep for District 39, portions of rural Clackamas County. And I think I have 40-some voters in Marion County.
I'm Barbara Smith-Warner from House District 45, representing Northeast Portland, Maywood Park, and Park Rose.
Go ahead, Erin. Erin Seiler, committee administrator, and Zoe Larmer is our committee assistant.
Thank you all. I am going to look to my vice chair because I think you have a motion.
Funny you should mention it, Madam Chair. I move to adopt the proposed committee rules.
Vice Chair Gilliam moves to adopt the proposed committee rules. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Rules are adopted. And I'm going to close the organizational meeting, and I'm going to open a work session for the introduction of committee measures.
Madam Chair, I move the following LCs be introduced as committee bills for this committee. LC 3, 8, 20, 39, 40, 41, 49, 200, 249.
Vice Chair Gilliam moves that the list of LCs that he listed off be introduced as committee bills. I will make the note that if you support the introduction of these LCs, it does not mean support for the underlying bill. Is there any discussion? Representative Rayfield.
I just wanted to note that the carrier of this motion is from the Christmas Tree District, and that LC 200 actually honors the American Tree Farm System. And note that there may be a conflict there.
When we get to that discussion on that bill, once it's out of LC form, we can have that discussion. Thank you. Any other discussion? Any objections? LCs are introduced. I'm going to close the work session. Yep. All right. Oh, thank you. I'm going to open an informational hearing on the implementation of Oregon's motor voter law and ask the Secretary of State to please join us and bring up her elections director, Mr. Williams.
Chair Williams, members of the committee, thank you for having us and giving us the opportunity to provide you with a brief update on Oregon Motor Voter. For the record, I am Jean P. Atkins, Oregon Secretary of State. And I do have with me Jim Williams, who is our elections director. As you know, Oregon Motor Act, House Bill 2177, was passed by the legislature and signed into law by Governor Kate Brown last March, shortly after I was became your Secretary of State. And so in the months following, the Secretary of State's office has worked diligently to meet the terms of the law and bring this program online by January 1st. The goal of Oregon Motor Voter, as you know, is to help us put a ballot in the hand of nearly every eligible voter in the state. It's a pioneering program that once again puts Oregon at the forefront of promoting voting access. I want to introduce for the record, for their benefit, as much as yours and mine, a few of the agency staff who have made the startup of OMV implementation possible. They are available to answer your questions, as I have Jim here in case I get over my head. But obviously, our elections director, Jim Williams, whose leadership was critical to this. And I also want to thank, who is another person in the room, Chris Mullen, our information systems director, whose selection and support for the project management and the software development teams that were needed were key to our being successful. Also here today, again, in case I get myself in over my head, are Seamus Hannon, who is the project director, Cody Trudell, deputy elections director, director for voter services, and Alana Cox, investigations and legal specialists who worked on our rules. These folks deserve a lot of credit for the quick turnaround of getting the program up and running, but credit and appreciation also goes to ODOT and Tom McClellan's team at DMV, Karen Clevering at DOJ, a number of citizen advocates who've worked on this program a long time, and the staff at DAS Publishing and Distribution. And of highest importance to me is to thank the county clerks and their staff for the energy, expertise, and good humor that they offered throughout this process of change. All of that was necessary to bring us online. And I also want to add a special thank you to those who had strong concerns about the program and who opposed the legislation and contacted us about our rulemaking process, were willing to come to the table and outline those concerns and help us figure out ways we could manage some of the risks that they felt were so important to be addressed. I think Oregon Motor Voter is a better program because they were involved in that. Our tasks included aligning data systems between the DMV and the Secretary of State's office, something which had been ongoing for some time, which had a new reason for being and additional elements involved. We had to establish matching criteria to make sure that currently registered Oregonians who come to the DMV don't get an unnecessary mailing or be harassed to ask about their voting status. We had to determine the process for address updates, which is a piece of this process that will help people keep their voter registration active by having a current address attached to it. And we had to implement the systems that would allow Oregonians who are contacted by us to make their wishes known so that they can come back to us and say, before they are registered to vote, that they want to opt out, or who can add a party registration, party affiliation to their voter record. And we had public communication tools that we had to develop around the program. This includes an Oregon Motor Voter brochure that will be available to them at the Department of Motor Vehicles, as people have been hearing about this program or have in the past maybe registered to vote actually at the DMV. It gives them all the registration options, all of which still remain the same with the addition of the automatic process that can happen through the DMV. A welcoming letter that eligible Oregonians who came to the DMV had an encounter. We did not find them in the voter registration system. They met the eligibility criteria. They will be getting a mailing from us. We had to develop the opening letter and the card that they would prepaid be allowed to move back to us if they wanted to, again, opt out or to add a party affiliation. I'm pleased to say that on January 1st, all the electronic systems worked as they should, and that on January 5th, the first letters to potential registrants were moved to the post office for delivery. That process has now been repeated successfully for 9 days and counting. The burning question of how many people will return their cards, choose to opt out, add party affiliation, which I know is of great interest to the world, will begin to be answered on January 27th when the first people run through their 21-day cycle and we see how many cards get returned. For that reason, we really look forward to doing more of a briefing for you all in February when we have a good number of weeks of operation and we can really tell you how Oregonians are reacting to it. We've had a handful of calls, mostly inquiries of information. A couple people who have gotten the mailing and had a question, others just hearing about it in the public, but not a lot of reaction, which for us is somewhat good news, although we really do want to hear from Oregonians about the program. We'll keep a close eye on all our systems and on that public reaction, and report back to you in February how that's happening. As I indicated, the success of the program so far is due to the engagement of all the folks I talked about. I wanted to let you know about the public process we had. We did have a Rules Advisory Committee, which met twice last summer. Included in that was anybody who testified for or against the legislation, and we welcomed the comments. We had county clerks, representative, five of Oregon's 13 political parties participated, and leaders from a diverse set of advocacy organizations. We also had four public hearings around the state, Medford, Pendleton, Eugene, and Northeast Portland. And the feedback that we received from these processes really went into making the program a better one. I'm convinced of it. One area that I know has been of considerable interest to legislators is the input that you wanted us to seek, and we certainly did, and received from advocates who work for folks who may be at risk, domestic violence victims and others who have means through Department of Motor Vehicles or DMV and through Department of Justice and through their local county clerk to protect their address in the system. And I think we our materials, which we'll bring to you in February, certainly available to you if you want them now, I think speak to the work that they did in helping us understand how best to educate people, not only of what services are available to them to protect them, but also how they might best respond to Oregon Motor Voter in terms of determining whether or not to send a card back to us, an encouragement to opt out if they have any concern, and then to go through whatever processes that they that are available to them. Also in line with our agreement during the legislative session, our county clerk partners have received their first county payments designed to reimburse them for both changes in the system and new learning that came from this, and increased registration activity, which they will be seeing. We'll be meeting with the e-board in December and think about the next set of payments in December. My team and I decided early on that we would wait for May of 2016 to evaluate the program as it's set up and going to be going forward for Oregonians now, and then begin to look at DMV past encounter data, which we consider to have the same elements of all of the eligibility established, and similarly contact those people. This is called the reach back, I think, in some people's parlance. We believe that getting the program up and running successfully was the first priority. We also knew that there would be a volume issue involved with that, and that perhaps what we learn from the communications we're giving now to voters will be helpful to us in determining what's the best way to communicate to people who may have been at the DMV 2 years ago and not last week, or day before yesterday. I think that's even more true. So just to let you know, that we'll be starting up the evaluation of how to begin that process and try to help with the counties and our own office to meet the fact that March is filing deadline day and a lot of volume comes through the offices and May elections. And so for the fall, we will see another increase in registrations on a one-time basis, but we are currently seeing about 700 a day of these transactions ending up in mailers to Oregonians. Those numbers may change in February. Our first day was the ICE day, you know, so like everything that you wait for to happen was a little change. So I'm, again, happy to have had the opportunity to come share with you the hard work of our team and to thank them on the record. It's very important. And I know that there were great concerns and aspirations for this program, and we continue to work on both those aspects. So thank you.
Thank you.
To take any questions.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Are there any questions? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Atkins, good to meet you.
Nice
a little while ago.
Nice to meet you, too.
Thank you. Mr. Williams, good to see you.
Good to see you, sir.
Very disappointed with the way our season ended with the Sooners this year.
Rather not talk about it.
Agreed. Ms. Atkins, if I can just ask a question about the return card. Do I understand that the return card offers a choice of opt-out or a choice of party affiliation?
Yes, that's
right. Any other things on that card but that?
Well, in terms of information back to us, those are the two items of information that people can give back to us. I suppose they'll be writing messages of a variety of sorts on it if they have the impulse. There is repeated information in a couple places in the mailing, again, about the public safety or the personal safety programs that are available to and some other information. But those are the items they can return back to us.
All right. Thank you. Any word from the county clerks? Are they pleased with the remuneration they're getting?
I think they were very pleased to get it, yes. That's obviously for all our counties, as we know. Any added burden is important to acknowledge, and very glad that the legislature was willing to do that. Because we are only, you know, 10 to 12 days into this now, we want to make sure not to overstate. But we do think that the improvements that we were able to and issues that we were able to identify through this process in the Central Voter Registration Database, and Jim could speak to this more, have been improvements overall for them. I think they are finding some much more simple ways than the mass of registration cards that they would get on paper from their local DMV, which then had to be hand-inputted. Mm. We're now providing that to them in electronic form. They are the final registrar, and so they make that final, but it's a much slimmer process. They will have some experience when a lot of them are queued up, and when we get to the reach back, you know, they will see, you know, that their basket is full of things to do, but the individual input that they do not have to do, I think they are finding already a benefit.
Hmm. We didn't. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you for asking.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you. Oh, sorry. Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. Just briefly, did you bring any of those materials here, or are they available on OLIS for us to take a look at?
Madam Chair, I did happen to bring a good supply of the mailings, the brochure, as well as the business reply.
We'll give them to Zoe and let you do them. We'll maybe look at them a little closer. We were asked to be brief. We'll look at them a little closer when we come back in February, and maybe tell you if we're hearing there's a flaw somewhere that we're gonna fix. But we'll leave a set with Zoe so that you all can have them. Sure.
Great. Good. Thank you very much, and thank you to your team for all of their hard work in implementing this law.
Thank you.
With that, I am going to close the informational hearing on the implementation of Motor Voter, and with the prerogative of the chair, I am handing the gavel to my vice chair, who will run the rest of the meeting, Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And when you say the rest of the meeting, I'm excited because there was more on this meeting than the next item. So thank you for...
We took care of that. So you just get announcements as well.
Fine. I would like to start by opening an informational hearing. We're going to have a little logistical issue. But nonetheless... Do we need to remind the doggies?
They're coming. Aaron went to go get them.
Here they are.
Although I reserved.
So I am opening an informational hearing on naming Newfoundland as the state dog of Oregon. And when you get situated, take your time, but we would love for Becky Davis and Susan Resnick-Sick. Have I got that right? You can correct me. So please come forward, and we would enjoy your testimony.
Susan Resnick, co-owner with my daughter, Becky Davis, Not a Bear Newfoundlands, Service Therapy and Show Dogs of Hubbard, Oregon. Bring joy, love, healing, and education to nursing facilities, cancer clinics, hospitals, schools, churches, and home visits, and all with a wagging tail. Chair Williamson and committee, we want to thank you for inviting us here today. We are happy to come and share our desire for the Newfoundland to be the state dog of Oregon. While many people know the story of the Lewis and Clark expedition,
there are many, many people who do not know that they had a companion on their trip west, a Newfoundland dog. It is important to us that people that live in our state know our history. They need to know the history of the state that they live in. Meriwether Lewis purchased the dog while he was in Pennsylvania waiting for his ships to be built. He paid $20 and he named him Seaman. He most likely picked a Newfoundland dog because of its great strength, its water rescue abilities, and its loyalty. Seaman was a loyal, helpful companion on a long, difficult journey. Seaman was probably an all-black Newfoundland. However, the mention of the dog's color was never mentioned in Meriwether Lewis's documents. But historians have said that it was an all-black. The first Newfoundlands were actually black, all white with black markings. Seaman very possibly looked like Shadrach. This is our male Newfoundland. His name is Shadrach. He's 4 years old. He weighs 160 pounds. And we are not a bear Newfoundlands because people that see them say, is that a bear? And we said, no, it's not a bear. So we said it so many times we became not a bear Newfoundlands. This is Olga. Olga is Shadrach's daughter. She's 6 months old and weighs about 70, 75 pounds. The Newfoundland breed originated from dogs brought from the island of Newfoundland off the east coast of Canada to England in the 1800s. The Newfoundland was known as the ship's dog. It took nets ashore, rescued people, and retrieved lost fishing gear. They have also been used as pack dogs, cart dogs, and sled dogs. Because of their immense strength, their webbed feet, and double-layered coat, they are excellent swimmers and able to work in the water. They are used today for water rescue in many places around the world. The Newfoundland's gentle nature and guarding instinct has endeared them to people throughout history. They love their humans, and they make excellent service therapy dogs. And if any of you ever saw or read the book or saw the movie Peter Pan, the nanny was a Newfoundland dog. Over the years, the dog business in our nation has gone from a multi-million dollar business to a multi-billion dollar business. People love their dogs. They take them to groomers, bathers, trainers, and they board them when they're out of town. There are many, many puppy daycares available for people while they're at work. They will pay money for the best food and toys. They like dog-friendly people, which would certainly draw them to Oregon. Portland, Oregon has been named the best city in the United States to live with a dog. The Rose City Classic Dog Show, held in Portland each year, is a huge show which brings hundreds of dog breeders to our state annually. Every year, the Newfoundland National Dog Show is held on the East Coast, but next year, 2017, they're coming to Oregon, Lincoln City. And that is a great opportunity. And just think, if the Oregon State dog was a Newfoundland and the Newfoundland Nationals were held in Oregon, what a draw for people to come. There were 700 people attended last year's Newfoundland Nationals.
700 dogs.
700 dogs. Now, that's a lot of dogs, and it's a lot of people coming to Oregon to see our beautiful state, to see what we have to offer here. And to have the Newfoundland as the state dog, that would be a great draw for our state, and it could become an annual event. There are 11 states in the United States which have designated an official state dog breed. They are Alaska, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Texas, Virginia, and Wisconsin.
There are some proposed dog breeds with pending nominations in Georgia, Kansas, Maine, and Washington. Now, some of these dogs were chosen because of a name of a town. Obviously, the Boston Terrier is the state dog in Massachusetts. The Karen Terrier for Kansas because of the movie The Wizard of Oz, because Toto was that terrier. So there's different, they chose breeds for certain names. We here, our title would be because of the rich history of Oregon with the Newfoundland dog. And that makes Oregon very special, and it makes the Newfoundland very special. But it not only makes them an excellent choice as our state dog, not just because of its history and then the involvement with Lewis and Clark's journey to the Northwest, which is a wonderful history. It's wonderful to know, and we want people to know about it. But the Newfoundland breed fits with the climate and the beauty of Oregon. Oregon is filled with beautiful lakes, rivers, and the Pacific Ocean. It is known for green valleys, the Cascade Mountains, and evergreen fir trees. And it's also known for rain. Newfoundlands love water, they love rain, they love mud puddles. They love the snow and the ice, and they love to run, and they love to swim. If you went swimming with them, they would try to pull you out of the water. Because that is what they're bred for, is water rescue. And they will circle you and give you their tail, and they will pull you out with their tail, and if you're injured, they will put their mouth over your arm and pull you out. They have what is called a soft mouth. They don't clamp down. But the Newfoundlands, they're majestic like our mountains. They're beautiful like the rivers. They're strong like the trees, and they have the resiliency and loyalty of our early pioneers. They are true Oregonians. And we really would like you to consider our request to make this beautiful dog, this beautiful breed, the state dog of Oregon. Do you have any questions?
Thank you for that testimony. And before I open it to questions, I just wanted to say, because I fear my colleague, Representative Rayfield, will again point out my conflict, it is my honor to serve and to represent Hubbard, Oregon, where these fine folks and dogs come from. And I would caution you that these dogs, in your case, could never, ever be lap dogs. And I would make an exception for your colleague, Representative Wilson. They might be for him. Anyway, thank you for that testimony, and we're open for questions. Representative Barnes.
Thank you. It's a great story that you tell us, and I appreciate it. Can you tell us a bit more about your business and how that's going, and what your plans are?
You go ahead. Well, our business started with the need for a service dog. And when we chose a Newfoundland, we chose it because of its temperament, because it's gentle, large, yes, very gentle and very in tune to human feelings. And if people are not feeling well, Shadrach, all 160 pounds of him, will go into the hospital and get into the bed with the patient and lay there. And what we have seen, the change in people from what these dogs have brought to people. I work at a cancer clinic, and they bring them approximately 3 to 4 times a month to visit. And I have seen such changes in people in the treatment room when they see those dogs come in. It's a smile on their face. It's maybe a memory of a special dog that they had. It's a distraction for a while from their pain. And they do such wonderful things that we want to continue to give back, because they've done wonderful things for our family. And so we are now breeding Newfoundlands. We also show. We will be at Rose City Classic. We go every year. Shadrach is a champion. And our female dog, Friday, named because we got her on Friday the 13th. She just had her first baby yesterday. Our first litter was 10 puppies. Yesterday we had one. And it is not unusual. It can happen. She's beautiful, gorgeous dog. And we are breeding. We are donating service dogs. And the business, of course, is selling. That's the business of a kennel. You sell puppies to keep your business going. My daughter has done a fabulous job with her dogs. She is knowledgeable. She's on the phone all day long with people asking about service dogs and about whatever questions they have, and she helps them. And I am just so happy to be a part of that, and we want to continue to grow. Our dogs are all from Europe, and the reason being the breeder that we found in Austria was known for her Newfoundland kennel of being especially, their temperament was exactly what we wanted. Shadrach is from Hungary, and we have dogs from the Czech Republic and from Austria and from France, and no, they do not bark in French. But they have been really wonderful, and we want to continue breeding. And when we first found the breeder in Austria, my daughter showed me a picture of her in her backyard, snow, covered in snow, surrounded by 14 Newfoundlands. And my daughter said to me, "Mom, this is exactly what I want someday." And we're almost there. And it's it's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of work.
Oh, that sounds like it. Tell us a little about how long you've been in business and whether you've managed to make a profit yet.
You know, we don't really consider it a business. We've had one litter of puppies so far. Uh-huh. And so have we made a profit? No. Not even close. We do everything we do for the community, for schools, for retirement centers, for
small
cancer
thing,
centers.
Becky. Identify for the record since you just spoke.
Becky Davis. Now I lost my train of thought.
You were talking about what you do for the community.
Right. We're self-funded. We don't take any money from anyone. So the only money that we do have is if there are puppies not suitable for service work or water rescue, then those puppies are sold to what's called a pet home. And that is the only income that we would take in from the business. But it's not, you know, it's not really a business.
Well, given the way you've described it, if I could, Mr. Chair, I would agree your description of it doesn't fit the description of a business.
Right.
Thank you.
Representative Rayfield.
Thank you so much. Thank you. One of the things that you may not know, and one of the things that I didn't know until I just looked it up on Wikipedia, is that on the Lewis and Clark Trail, about 200 dogs were actually eaten,
mm-hmm.
but one,
mm-hmm.
the Newfoundland, and as Seaman as his name. He also experienced a lot of rough times. Mosquitoes were very bad. I think the quote was, "My dog even howls with the torture he experiences from them." So not only are we recognizing history with something like this, we're also recognizing all of those dogs that didn't make it back home. So I want to thank you for bringing this to our attention.
Thank you for that comment.
The Indians also stole Seaman from... Yeah, they came and took him, and Meriwether Lewis got a group together, and they went after him. And I'm not sure what happened. They traded the dog back for guns or something like that. I believe that was what it was,
yeah.
Because they wanted their dog back. And Newfoundlands are just tremendously loyal. They really love their people.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I've been around here for a few terms now, and one thing I've noticed that any time that we have a bill that relates to a dog, every member feels like they have to tell a dog story. And I would just ask us not to do that today, and let this be the Newfoundland's day. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative.
Other questions?
Well, I have a comment, Mr. Chair.
Please.
I just wanted to point out that the Oregonian held an online poll after covering the fact that this informational hearing had been requested by Representative Gilliam. And the Newfoundland received 43% of the votes, highest vote getter on the online poll, with the Welsh Corgi coming in at 33% and other coming in at 11%. So clearly the Newfoundland it would be the people's choice as well.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Other comments or questions? All right, thank you so much. Unlike other service dogs, I assume after the committee, we'll be able to pet the dogs.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Yes.
With that, I will conclude this informational meeting and turn the gavel back over.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. A couple announcements. Erin, do you want me to make these or do you want to make them?
Just wanted to let members know that starting February 1st, our meeting schedule is going to be very similar to what it was last session, Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, 3 to 4:45 in the afternoon. We will be back downstairs in hearing room 50. Today is just a luxury of being upstairs. And in case you didn't notice, we do have a new member on our committee. Representative Huffman is now joining us in the stead of Representative McLean.
Excellent.
Oh, hi, Val.
It's just so natural.
Yeah. I know, I thought.
All right. With that, I'm going to go ahead and close the meeting. Adjourn. With that, I'm going to go ahead and close the meeting.